Father, we thank you, Lord, for what a time that we're living in. The time to lift up our heads because our redemption draweth closer than when we first believed. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory as we fellowship this morning and hear the word of God. Let it be unto us as it is written. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let that light shine in our hearts this morning, Lord, and give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Now, I've touched on and I've done series like this, the Kingdom series, up and down before. And as we see these things happening around us, you know, I was thinking about it in my heart. The Holy Spirit said, go ahead. So I'm going to be bringing this series on the Kingdom series again. We're going to do a deep dive, understanding the Kingdom and understand the message of the Kingdom and understand why it is so key at this time. It actually goes in line, you know, with the signs of the times that are all around us. You know, if we have understanding of the times, you know, we may actually, you know, gain an advantage. Now, if we don't have any understanding, that's not a good thing. You know, things that go on around us, we have no understanding. You know, that's never a good thing. You know, the scripture says that the children of Isaac, they had understanding of the times, you know, and the seasons. And because of this understanding that they had, you know, they actually had some advantage over their brethren. Let's take a quick look at this one verse in First Chronicles, you know, chapter 12 and verse 32. It's just one verse there before we get into message proper today. First Chronicles 12 and 32. Now, it says, the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. And this understanding gave them, you know, insight to know what Israel ought to do. So the understanding of the times actually inspires us to know what we need to do. You know, and, you know, they were heads of them. You know, they were heads of their brethren. See, all their brethren were at their commandment because they had understanding and they knew what to do. Now, this understanding of the times is quickening us to know right now that we need to understand these lessons that we're starting again today. You know, it says when you have the understanding of the times, you know what we ought to do. But what we ought to do, it's right here. There's a profound statement that Jesus made in Matthew 24 and verse 14. You know, and that's what's leading to this. He says, look, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness all the nations, and then shall the end come. Well, what does that mean? Let's unpack that statement for just a minute. You know, first he said, this gospel of the kingdom. Well, he didn't just say, you know, and the gospel shall be preached. No, this, that's an emphasis on it. And it is the gospel of the kingdom that's going to, when it's preached and people fully understand it, well, that, you know, that's a prerequisite to, you know, the end coming. So the end cannot come until this gospel of the kingdom, not some gospel. There's a lot of gospels, you know, that are being preached. You know, even Paul said it. He said, look, if someone should bring another gospel, different than what you've already been preached to, then let him be a curse. There's a lot of gospels today, gospel of prosperity, gospel of convenience, gospel of this, gospel of that, and so on. So, you know, a gospel simply means good news, you know, and, but the one that is going to lead to the end, you know, the one upon which the end depends is the gospel of the kingdom. When the gospel of the kingdom is preached, he said it in all the world for a witness for all nations. Well, maybe it has been preached, maybe not. But we need to understand it and we need to preach it as part of this process to get us to the end. And Jesus said, among many things, he said that, look, a fresh and new understanding comes when you get the true meaning of the kingdom. And in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 to 17, we're told that, well, you know, no man can put you don't put new wine into old bottles. And you don't put new wine into old wine skins. Whether it's called a wine skin, whether it's called a wine bottle, you know, you should better put new wine in new bottles, we're told. Now, if you do the other thing, like putting the new wine in old bottles, then what's going to happen is, what? He said, what? You know, the bottles will break, the wine will run out, the thing will perish. You know, got to put new wine into new bottles. He said the same thing in the previous verse. No man putteth a piece of new cloth upon an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it will take off from the garment, and the rent is made worse. So you got to put new in new. But that tells you that, you know, there's new understanding that must come to us. Now, we're going to do a deep dive or even a deeper dive. So even if you've heard some of this before, let's pay attention and see what the Holy Spirit will be telling us. Understanding is so key. So today's part one of this new series, the kingdom series, will be understanding the kingdom. And it is so key. And Jesus gave many parables. In the book of Matthew 13, a number of parables there. He kicked that particular chapter off, or that particular chapter kicks off with, you know, the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. You know, the sower had a mission. The mission was to sow some seed. You know, but he was just going along the way and sowing, you know, and peradventure, some seed fell over here, some seed fell over there, and so forth. And later on, he would explain the parable, you know, to his disciples. But here's what he said, though, about these, the reason why he spoke in parables. The disciples came to him in verse 10 after he gave the parable of the sower. To end the parable, he said, well, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's how Jesus used to say that behind every parable. Well, that means there's something, everybody has ears, but are your ears tuned to hear? Or what? Or what do you hear? You know, so they came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said, well, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So there are mysteries about the kingdom of heaven. And if it's in plain sight and everybody knows it, then it won't be called mysteries. And then if it's everybody knows it, Jesus won't say some people have it and some people don't have it. Now, he also says, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have the more abundance. But whosoever hath not, now from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And that's a very serious, you know, revelation here. If you have understanding, then God will give you even more. If you don't have understanding, then the devil will come and take away from you even the one you're struggling with. That's how it works. Well, you say, why did I say that? Well, let's listen to what he said. He said, Isaiah, you know, I mean, gave this prophecy. He said, by hearing, you shall hear and not understand. And seeing, you shall see, you know, and not perceive. So Isaiah told them that. And he said that these people's heart is wax gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have been closed so that they should not see with their eyes and hear with their ears. And let's say you understand. See, when you see and you hear can cause understanding in your heart. See, when they see with their eyes, they hear with their ears, they may then understand with their heart. And it can lead to conversion. It can also lead to your healing. You know, so hearing is important. Seeing is important. But understanding, that's the key. The hearing and the seeing is to lead to understanding in our heart. That's what makes us to be converted from the kingdom of darkness to kingdom of light. That's what even brings healing of our souls, our bodies, our minds, and everything. Now, but Jesus said, look, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you see these things and you hear these things, blessed are you. So just for seeing them, blessed are you. Just like it says in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. You know, when John was commanded to write all those things and send them to the churches, you know, there was a footnote that said, like, blessed is he that readeth, it's Revelation 1 and 3, and they that hear, you read with your eyes, right? And you hear with your ears. It's the same thing. When you read and you hear, then, but the keeping of those things, that's the understanding in the heart. So the same three-prong principle. See with your eyes, that you read, that means you read the scriptures. Hear with your ears the words of this prophecy or this teaching. And then keep those things. Well, that gives you understanding in your heart is what leads to you to keeping those things. So this principle is there, you know, throughout the Bible. And then, but back to Matthew, you know, chapter 13. And after Jesus said, look, these people's eyes couldn't see anything, their ears couldn't hear anything, but blessed are your ears that see and your eyes that see, you know, and your
You are muted, Pastor Yato.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
No. We can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. My wife was trying to call me. Were you trying to call me for that reason that you are not hearing?
Yes.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm showing that I'm still in the room. Let me check it out. But at the moment, it looks like you can hear me. Okay. Not sure what you heard last, but What was the last thing you guys heard so I know what I need to repeat?
You were going to Matthew
13. I read Revelation 1:3 already. You heard that part?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry about that. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, so I was bringing out a principle and I said this is a punchline. Many punchlines will come through this, through these lessons. But number one is there's a three-prong principle in these things. You know, three parts that the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to understand. These three things must work together. You know, we read the Bible with our eyes. We hear lessons such as these with our ears. But we put those things together. It's like tributaries, you know, that come and join and form a river. Something's coming this way, something's coming that way. They come together and form a river. What the reading and the hearing must lead to is understanding in our heart. Now, if we don't have that understanding, then all the hearing and seeing doesn't mean anything. So this is what Jesus said. He said, look, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things, which you see. That's with their eyes. And I've not seen them. And they'll hear these things that you hear. That's with their ears. And they have not heard them. Therefore, they have no understanding. Now, you see, so now hear ye the parable of the sower. In this case, Jesus is audibly, verbally explaining it. Today, we have the benefit of reading it on our own. And you can also hear it taught as in this lesson today. Now, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. So the main thing behind hearing is the understanding. That's why this lesson number one today in this kingdom series, this new kingdom series is called Understanding the Kingdom. I'm going to take a deep dive into it. Now, the purpose of all of this is for understanding. So when a person hears the word of the kingdom, not just some random word, but the word of the kingdom, and they understand it not, then cometh the wicked one. Now, remember, you know, he that hath shall be given that he may have more abundance. And he that doesn't have, then the devil's going to come and take away from him. Even that which is like, it's the devil that does it. So now, when a man hears, anybody hears the word of the kingdom, understand it's not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now, this is he which received the seed by the wayside. Now, that's the one I want to focus on today. The seed by the wayside is the person that heard the word but had no understanding. They did not develop into understanding in their heart. Now, some people have understanding, you know. Like the children of Isaac that we read, their understanding of the times, and it made them, you know, inside their heart, made them to know what they ought to do, you know, how they should quicken their pace, how they should prepare themselves, etc. And even that understanding gave them an advantage over their brethren, and their brethren were at their commandment. That's what we read in 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. So this understanding is so key. Now, but what do we need to understand though? Now, since this is a deep dive, let's take it easy. I'm not going to rush through this, no matter how long or how many days it takes. Jesus, when he began his ministry, we need to look at the things that were important to him that he was talking about. There are many parts of the Gospels that project how Jesus entered into his ministry. Matthew brought some angles, you know, Luke brought some angles, and so on. You know, John brought some other angles. Mark, in his own case, just jumped right into it. You know, so, but let's see how they brought some of these things. Now, It's a Bible study today. In Matthew chapter 3, you see that there was an introduction made of Jesus by John the Baptist. John the Baptist himself was introduced to us, you know, that he was called the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40. And then we're told that this same John, he came wearing a raiment of camel's hair. And you know, you talk about, this man was a rough man. you talk about, one day I said, you talk about consecration. When we're talking about consecration, you wear the rough side of this camel's skin on your skin, the rough side, not the smooth side. There's two sides to it. One side smooth, one side rough. You wear the rough side on your skin to remind you what you gotta go through. Remind you of your mission. Now, this same John, he introduced Christ. And he told them many things. And then when Jesus came and was baptized, then we're told that the heavens opened up and the voice came, announcing him. See, the voice announced him. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, first, John announced him. Then, the voice from heaven announced him. Now, Jesus, he got two announcements now. He's got the word by two witnesses. You know, Jesus always fulfills everything to a T. So, everything, he fulfilled it to a T. Waited for two announcements because he said by the mouth of two witnesses that everything be established. He said, well, so John announced him, Father announced him, now he's ready. So now he goes, you know, and from that point on, he goes into the wilderness, be tried and so forth. I mean, he's been preparing for several years, 30 years, but now you're going to put that to the test. All that stuff that you've been preparing, you're ready now. Almost ready. You know, the Father thinks you're ready, but you're going to do one last thing. You're going to, before you actually go in and begin to do these things, it's a series of some more tests that you got to do. Now remember, the devil, we don't know all the things that happened to Jesus in those 30 years. But now that the devil heard that Jesus is ready, because now the Father made the announcement and John the Baptist also made the announcement, you know, say, well, unto us a child is born and unto us a son is presented. You know, now is presented to the world. Okay. So now the devil say, I'm going to have something to say about that. Now, so this is also a lesson to learn when there's a call of God in your life, upon your life. You know, the moment that the devil realizes that there's a call of God upon your life, he's going to come at you in every which way. You know, so some of you, don't be surprised that these things are coming out against you. You know, it's because, especially when you are trying to come on in there and yield yourself to the Spirit, you know, maybe you've been disobedient for a long time and so forth. You know, that was not too worried when you are in disobedience camp, because you're already in his camp. But now, when you say, no, enough of that already, I am going to serve the Lord. Well, then now, okay, you have become an enemy of the camp of the devil. So he's going to try everything to stop you. Now, so now, when he was announced that Jesus is ready to do something, the devil said, well, not so fast. So many things, there are many that Jesus went through. But at the end, you know, the way that Luke presented it, let's look at Luke. Luke also presented, you know, the fact that, you know, Jesus was baptized and so forth. And then he gave chapter three, he gave a reverse genealogy of Jesus. And we're told the time that Jesus was baptized in Luke chapter 3, you know, verse 23 or so. He says, you know, after the Holy Ghost has come upon him and so on. And he said, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So we know that it was around 30 that he was baptized. He needed to be 30 to be a rabbi in Israel and so on. And then he traced his genealogy backwards to Adam. This was in Luke 3 and 38, calling Adam the son of God. So we know that. And then we jump to chapter 4 of Luke. He went so into the wilderness and all of these things and so on and so forth. You know, so, and the Lord, we saw those different temptations. And when the devil had entered all the temptation, this is Luke now, chapter 4 and verse 13, he departed from him for a season. And it's always a season. He's going to come back and try it again. So bear that in mind. If you win round one, the devil's coming back for round two. And you win round two, he's coming back for round three. He always does. You know, so don't think that round one, you won and then that's it. You know, he'll get you. The moment you just fold your arms and you think you've finished, then that's when he'll sneak up upon you, try to get you. So you got to be on your guard for the next round and so on. So he came to the synagogue and so forth. And they delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. So he opened the book and found the place where it was written of him. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We now call that Isaiah 61. In those days, it wasn't in the written like chapters like that. It was just scrolls, you know, so they just gave it to him. So, and then he read all these things. And when he finished reading some part of it, you notice where he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stopped. He did not go on to the day of vengeance of our God, because that part was not yet. So he put a split in that prophecy. Now, Isaiah did not do the split. But Jesus did the split. Isaiah said all these things, you're going to do all these things, set them at liberty, open the eyes of the blind and so forth, proclaim, you know, the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. You know, this Messiah coming is going to do all these things. But Jesus, when he picked that book or that scroll, he put a split in that prophecy. He stopped right at preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. And he left the day of vengeance of our God alone, just left it alone. You know, then he closed the book and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your heart. So the first part he's fulfilling. He's leaving the second part of the day of vengeance of our Lord till later. And we're still waiting for that. So that's why he left that part alone. And now he says unto you, and then people said so many things unto him. And in this place, you know, he began to do, miracles, and he began to do some other things and so forth, you know, and let's read something that happened towards the end of that chapter. They began to like, you know, some of the things they saw because devils were crying out, you know, and so on. You know, people were getting sick, healed, you know. So let's read from verse 40 of Luke chapter 4. And when the sun was setting, all that had the sick with diverse kinds of diseases, they brought them, you know, family members, they brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. It's the same thing like in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, right? So he healed them. And the devils came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, he told them to keep quiet. Didn't want them to reveal who he was. Let the people find out. You know, you devils keep... Jesus never needed testimony from the devil. No, no. He got his testimony from John the Baptist, got his testimony from the Father, and he's going to testify of himself. He said, look, I testify of myself, you know, only, but I'm not the only one. Someone has sent me, testify of me. And even if I did testify of myself, my testimony is still true. But he doesn't want any testimony from that devil, you know, so we should be aware of that. You know, the spirit, there's a spirit that may be testifying of the things of God. God is not pleased about it. You know, there was a divination spirit in Acts chapter 16 in that woman that was crying after Paul and Silas. These are the men that show us the way of salvation. Well, she was testifying to their ministry, but it was a divination spirit and it was of the devil. And after a while, Paul was, you know, grieved in the spirit and rebuked that thing, commanded it to come out of there. So never, we should never receive or enjoy the testimony of man, of the devil. You know, that God has no part in that. You know, there's a reason for that too. But let's stay on this one. So they came and told Jesus that he should not depart from them. You know, verse 42. And when he was there, he departed into a desert place. And the people looked for him. And when they found him, they stayed him. In other words, they're preventing him, trying to tell him, please stay, don't depart, just stay. But they're liking the miracles. This was at first, you know, before they started hearing some hard preaching. You know, and then he told them, listen to what he said in verse 43. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Now, this is one revelation. There are many things that are given to us in the scriptures of why Jesus came. Now, here's Jesus telling us with his own mouth of why he came. Now, like in John 3:16, famous verse, we're told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, that's how John reported it. That's how Jesus is saying what he came to do. So we find that John 3:16 and this verse here, they are the same, but they can't contradict each other. But there is a message behind John 3:16 that is more than just saying, you know, give your life to Christ and so on. So that's what the message of the kingdom is all about. I must preach the kingdom of God. You know, most of the time that's what Jesus preached. Hardly even preached himself. He was always preaching the kingdom. What is it all about? And most of the time, you say, hardly did he even ever reveal the truth of who he was. He just kept that hidden. A few people figured it out, and he revealed it here, you know, one here and there. But for the most part, he just called himself Son of Man and shouted it like that. You know, and when Peter figured it out, he said, wow, that's an amazing revelation. It could not have come to you from learning, you know, just physical learning, that my father had to reveal it to you. You know, but here he's telling us why he came and what he must do. He said, look, you can't hold me down here in one place. I got to preach that kingdom. But what was it that was, it was so, you know, the zeal of the Lord that was consuming is preaching the kingdom of God. So we got to figure out what Jesus's message is. You know, what is the kingdom of God? I mean, was Jesus always preaching stuff like, you know, you got to believe on the Son of Man so that you'll be saved and go to heaven? Jesus didn't preach any such thing. But there was a lot of things that Jesus preached. And we need to figure out what he preached. Because he called it, you know, he said, this is the reason why I came. So we need to figure out what he preached. We need to understand what he preached. You know, read it now in the Bible. Hear it through lessons such as this. And get understanding in your heart what it all means. So that's what we're doing in this series. Now, like I said, it takes some time, but this, since it's a deep dive, I'm taking my time and calling it out. Now, we have a lot of new people on this platform now that haven't heard me since I taught this a couple years ago. So it's a good time for them to hear it. And it's a good time for you who have heard it before also as a refresher. Because of the signs around us, we see that the end is near. And a day such as this, it's a great day to remind ourselves of these things. Because Jesus said, when you see these things, then lift up your head, for your redemption cometh near. But there's something that we must understand before this fullness of this redemption. You got to understand how Jesus presented the message of the kingdom. That's important for us to understand. You know, so now let that sink in for a minute. And from the time that Jesus began to preach, he even sent out his disciples, you know, and he began to say something to them. What did he begin to say to them? Well, Jesus himself, let's read Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. You know, as part of, you know, how Matthew explained, we've seen how Mark explained it. I mean, how Luke explained it. Well, let's see how Matthew explained it. In the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, you know, we're told, you know, that when Jesus left the, you know, this temptation and so forth from the devil, let's read the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4 is how he went and be tempted and all of that. Okay. Now let's read verse 12. This is Matthew's own account. He didn't talk about the going to the synagogue like Luke did, but here's how he brought it out. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into the prison, he departed from Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the, you know, borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that he might be fulfilled. So now, Jesus went and dwelt in that place to fulfill some prophecy. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond and so forth, the Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sit in darkness. I've seen a great light. Now, Jesus, like I said, always fulfilling everything that was written in the scriptures concerning him. Many times you say that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, you know, that it might be fulfilled. So that's how he did all those things, you know, that, I mean, that's why he did the things that he did, you know. So Jesus now, we're told that he's going to be a light to the Gentiles, right? So, but look at how Matthew here describes, you know, the, what Jesus began to do at this point, you know, what did he begin to do? Or what did he begin to do? He said, well, and from that time, right? From that time, this is Matthew 4 and 17. Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what Jesus came to introduce. His message was on point. And it's important for us to understand why Jesus was so focused on the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus came in a time when it was the kingdom of Rome that was ruling. And then he started coming and talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's treason as far as the Romans were concerned. You cannot have another king but Caesar. In fact, that's why Herod, at his birth, will try to kill him. Because these people, the Magi from the east, came and announced that we've seen him that is born king of the Jews. Now, the Romans had inserted their own kingdom upon everywhere they went. And so they bring in their governors, they bring in their tetrarchs, they bring in their whatever, you know, and everyone report to Rome. You cannot have allegiance to anything else other than Caesar. And so when you come and say, King of the Jews, King of the Jews, you know, the Jews are supposed to be, you know, in servitude to Caesar. And so Herod said, well, we got to kill that because it can't be anything like that. And so when you come in here and you're announcing a kingdom, now remember, a kingdom must have a king. It must also have citizens. It must also have a government. It must also have rules, you know, and so on and so forth. A constitution and everything. So we're going to be talking about these things. And it's important for us. He said, at that time, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, the kingdom. So that's what Jesus was introducing. Because people had no concept. As of that time, people had no concept whatsoever. You know, they lost it. But God, you know, he wanted to be their king. They rejected him. And so from that time on, many, many thousands of years, now here comes Jesus. Still now, all of a sudden, trying to reinstate this kingdom where God will be king. And, you know, so it's important for us to learn some of the things that he's preaching. Now, this verse in Matthew 4:17 did not say, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, you know, give your life to Christ and be born again, you know, and go to heaven. He didn't say any such thing. He was talking about the kingdom of God. You know, now there are places where he talks about that. For instance, when Nicodemus came to him, you know, in John chapter 3, he told him, look, you must be born again. And that's the reason why he said that. But for the most part, always, you know, something about the kingdom. Now, even when he sent out his disciples in Matthew chapter, 10, he sent out his disciples and he told them to go and preach. You know, I mean, he had to spend some time gathering these disciples and so forth. But here's what he said to them in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. And Jesus called his 12 and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, and tell you not, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's number one. Remember the parable. Father had two sons. Told the first, go. He said, I'm not going. Then he went to the second. So the Jews were number one. The father came to them and said, do this. They said, no. And so he went to the Gentiles. Now, so this one, Jesus said, first the Jews. That's why he told this, you know, Syrophoenician lady, I'm sent to the house of the Jews first. I can't take that now and give to you. But the woman, by her faith, she pierced that veil of time. Wasn't yet time, but she pierced it and she got it. Now, but in this place, Jesus is sending them out. He said, this is as you go. What did he tell them to preach? Preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, as part of that preaching, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you got to demonstrate some things. You got to make people interested in this kingdom. I mean, what's going to interest them? Well, the devil has been pummeling them. They're sick. They're tormented. You know, many of them are lame. They're blind. They're this and so forth. And, you know, the devil's killing them all. Well, so show them what the kingdom looks like. Come in there, heal their sick, cleanse their lepers. These are the things that plagued them in those days. Lepers were outcasts. They can't even stay in the city. Commandment to be outside the city. And if they ever got cured or somehow, they got to go show themselves to the priest. And the priest had to certify. And so on. I mean, they had all these rules and things. And people, you know, were under bondage of the devil. And Jesus said, well, show them what the kingdom looks like. Heal their sick. Cleanse their lepers. Raise their dead even. You know. And then people might be interested, you know, because when you come in here trying to introduce something new, hey, we're already under Caesar's rule. Caesar is providing for us and so forth. You know, so if you're going to try to teach them something else, you got to show something that Caesar doesn't have. Caesar can't heal their sick. You know, Caesar can't, you know, cast out devils. Caesar can't raise the dead. Caesar can't cleanse the lepers. You know, Caesar gave them a few things, but he taxed them on top of it. But Jesus is saying, look, in your own case, there's no taxing. Freely you have received, freely you give. So the message of Jesus was always trying to be in contrast to what's going on around the people. And there was something good about the Roman kingdom. Jesus would take advantage of that, but there were a lot of evil. That kingdom was actually very wicked. But the one good thing that was good about them, which is why Jesus came during that time, was that they had a model that was good, quite unlike others. All the other kingdoms of Babylon and Medo-Persian and all these people, they would come in, they'll carry them captives. And that's how they took Daniel and his friends captive, Esther and all these people. They carried captive, Nehemiah, all of them, Ezra. They carried captive. They carried them away from their own home city, captive, back to Babylon, back to wherever. You know, that's how they did. Well, when Rome came in, Rome didn't do any of that. Rome didn't carry anybody away captive. Rome brought their own kingdom and established their kingdom there. And say, you must fall in line. They're not carrying you away captive to anywhere. But you are here under a new kingdom, and you fall in line. And so people, and you know, they gave the citizens of the kingdom more rights than those who are not citizens. And everybody wanted to be a Roman citizen. You know, Paul, you know, he said, look, I'm a freeborn. This other man said, look, and we'll come to all of that. He said, look, but I bought this with, a price. But Paul said, well, but I am freeborn. I was born here. You know, so everybody wanted to be, I mean, if you're a Roman citizen back then, you know, in fact, when they were trying to beat up Paul and everything, and Paul said, look, I'm a Roman citizen. Everybody was afraid, all the soldiers. Man, be careful now. This man is a Roman citizen. You know, now, so that's how Rome was. You know, the citizens had, you know, an advantage. And you don't mess with them anyhow, you know. And so, but Jesus is introducing something here. Well, and he said, teach them something. So he liked that model of, you know, we're not carrying you away to heaven. We're going to install something here. So that's why, you know, he liked that, you know, Roman citizen model, you know. And he said, yeah, you can do, can use that. And in fact, he prayed that prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 15. When he was praying, it was about time for him to leave. You know, this is what he said to the Father in his prayer. He said, Father, you know, keep them from the evil and all these things. And, you know, I've shown them your word. I've done this. I've done that and so on. You know, now it's time for me to leave. Well, now he's going to pray for the Father to keep them while he's gone. You know, he's going to send the Holy Spirit and so forth. And he said, look, you know, I pray not. And he's talking to the Father now. This is Jesus. I pray not that you should take them out of this world. And that was not, that was the farthest thing from his mind. But keep them from the evil. But there's something they have to do here. So Jesus' concern was not as soon as they're saved, take them to heaven. Then you know, something will be lost in translation there. So, you know, but the message that we've been preaching, the church for years, is that you should give your life to Christ and go to heaven. That's what we've been preaching. But Jesus didn't say that. In fact, Jesus said, even actually prayed the opposite to the Father. He said, look, don't take them from the world. But while they're in the world, keep them. But they got to represent something they got to do. And that's what we've been talking about. We're going to be talking about in this series. Why did Jesus say, don't carry them away from the world, like Babylon and the rest of these people, just come in there, sweep them away, carry them away, captive someplace. Jesus said, no, I like this Roman thing here. You know, let them stay here, but install our kingdom here and let them be the agents of the change that will make people understand. And how are you going to do it? Well, you got to show the people that this kingdom that you're talking about has something that the other kingdom that they are in cannot provide. You know, so you got to heal their sick. The other kingdom can't do that. You got to cleanse their lepers. The other kingdom can't do that. You got to raise the dead even. The other kingdom can't do that. But when you do it, don't put any taxes on them like the other kingdom does. Freely you have received. Freely you give. Well, the people that purport to preach the kingdom today, do they give it freely? Absolutely not. But Jesus was very clear. Freely you have received this thing, and freely you give it. No taxes. No service charge for what you provide, the services that you are going to provide. Well, today, there are charges for the services that we who say that we are teaching this message of the kingdom provide. It's called a service charge. You know, it's no wonder because when you come to church, we call it service. So when you come to the service, well, there's a service charge. Well, that's intended to be funny, but, you know, take it as it may. There's a service charge for coming to the service. And you have to pay a charge, you know. So, but Jesus said, no, no charges, freely you have received, freely you give. That's why I preach the gospel freely. But that's what Jesus said. Freely you have received, freely you give it. You can't tax anybody for it. That's the Romans. Leave that alone. And even one time they said, Jesus, why don't you pay taxes and so forth? He said, well, so he called them, said, look, Who should be paying taxes? The citizens or the foreigners? He said, well, the foreigners. I said, well, then the children are free. You know, so, and he said, oh, okay. So this, because the Roman citizens, they were taxing the foreigners and their others, you know, their own citizens were free. So he just said, okay, well, we are the real children of the kingdom, but they don't understand it. So that to not make them angry, go pay taxes. Pay for you, pay for me. Get them off our backs, you know. and then they leave us alone. And then he, you know, told Peter what to do, how to pay the tax and so on. But in the kingdom, you're not taxed. You're free. Now, people who purport to preach the kingdom today brought all kinds of taxes into the kingdom. What you got to pay, you know, for the kingdom. Well, Jesus said, give it freely. So we'll be talking about that even some more. You know, now there's a difference between giving and there's a difference between paying. So let me just digress there a little bit. Giving is different than paying. When you give, you give. When you pay, it's a levy. Yeah, and that's why they were called, you know, that's why it's called levy, because the Levites, you know, they put a levy, and that's why the word came from now, upon everybody, you know, to pay tithes. You know, well, but the first mention of tithing in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 14. You can't do away with tithing because it came even before the law. And the law cannot eradicate that which came before the law. That's what we're told. He said, look, these things came before the law. The law which came 400 years after cannot remove the things that were there before the law. So tithing was before the law. You know, there's a lot of people out here today telling people not to tithe and so forth. Yeah. But they're not accurate because that's not in the scriptures. You know, but you know, tithing has to be done a certain way. Cannot be a taxing, you know. Can't be a taxing. You know, basically, it got to be, you know, by revelation, you know, because we see that the first mention, and this is the law, there's a law of first mention when you do learning of the scriptures, you know, the law of first mention is, you know, what does it talk about? In Genesis 14, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And there was no commandment from God or anybody else that Abraham should pay tithes. So it must have come to him by revelation. And when he paid it by revelation, and even Isaac and so forth, he said, oh, they pay tithes of all the, say, I give you tenths of all I owe. There was no commandment. They were way before Moses and so forth and all the Levites and commanding to pay of tithes. They gave the tithe by revelation. That tells you that in the kingdom, it's got to be by revelation. Can't be by commandment. By commandment, then it becomes a taxing, like Caesar's, you know. And Jesus said, show me a coin. He said, well, should we pay taxes? Well, Jesus said, well, which kingdom are you in? Are you in the kingdom of heaven or are you in the kingdom of Caesar? They said, well, this is definitely the kingdom of Caesar. Well, okay, then show me a coin. So they showed him a coin. And Jesus looked at the coin. He said, whose image is this? He said, Caesar. I said, well, okay, there you go. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But in this kingdom, show me a coin. No, Jesus didn't say that. In this kingdom, you give to God freely, you know, of the things that he has given you. Now, you know, Caesar wants to tax you. That's fine. You're in his kingdom. You're under him. You pay his taxes. Now, when you come over here, though, very different. And you guys that I'm going out there, you show them something different that will make them want to be a part of this. You know, so those are the things that Jesus began to teach and to learn. You know, in the book of Hebrews, just a little digression here on the things that comprise the kingdom, how they are different. You know, this taxation, you know, when we were told about Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews, you know, Melchizedek is called, you know, explained to us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, who he really is. And then in this same chapter 7, we are told that there was something about tithing, because Melchizedek received tithes of Abraham, and there was no commandment that Abraham should give a tithe, but he gave it by revelation. But on this place, he said, look, when these Jews came, there was a law. You know, the Levites were given a law you know, to take tithes of their brethren. So at that point, it became a law. Even though they come out of the loins of Abraham that did the tithing by revelation. And you have to read this Hebrews chapter 7 carefully, you know. And he said, well, you know, so let me read this to you there. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here are men that die, receive tithes. But there, Melchizedek received tithe from Abraham, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Now listen to this verse 9. It's very profound. But it carries a revelation. And as I may say so, Levi also that received tithes, right? Levi were commanded to take tithes of their brethren. Levi who received tithes, he himself paid tithes. Now, Levi is a paying system. The pay is Levites, right? So, Levi who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. But Abraham himself gave tithes. So there's a difference between giving. Verse 6, verse 4. Now consider how this great man, how great this man was, Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave. Now, Abraham didn't pay any tithes. He gave. Because there was no payment. He wasn't fulfilling anything. He gave by revelation. By the time you get down to Levi, they are paying tithes, which is a commandment. Now, where do we fall? Do we fall under the law? Or do we fall under that which was even before the law? Well, I say before the law. So tithing is approved in the scriptures. But is it commanded of us now? No, it's by revelation. But revelation is more powerful than commandment. People who do commandment have no revelation. It's in vain. In vain do these people serve me and so forth. And Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. He said, look, there's a lot of things that you guys do. Focused on things. But this is not how the kingdom functions. The kingdom functions differently. You guys, that's what Jesus was always telling them. You've heard that it was done this way, but here's how we do in the kingdom. You've heard that we done this way, here's how you do. He said, look, you guys are focused on tithing. You tithe mint, you tithe this, you tithe that, and so on and so forth. But you leave out the things that the kingdom really cares about. And he said, look, it's okay for you to do these things, but I call you hypocrites because you pay. Now remember, Jesus is telling it. So what you guys do, you pay tithe of these, that, and so forth, but you omit weightier matters. And Jesus is saying, look, this is the law that you are given to pay tithe. So fine, you're doing it, but you omit these things, which are the kingdom. The kingdom is about law, judgment, mercy, faith, and all these things. And then Jesus said something, said, look, these you ought to do. You know, you ought to do the law, the judgment, the mercy, the faith, and so on. But do not leave the order undone. Jesus didn't say, stop tithing. He said, but, you know, the way you're doing it, you're not focused on the things that are important. These are the things that are more important in the kingdom. The judging, the line, the law, the mercy, the faith, the this and this. These ones are the pillars of the kingdom. And these are what you should do. But don't leave the other undone. You know? But first, do this one. That's why Jesus always say, first you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then these other things. You know, so if you are, you know, just going about paying tithes, but you are not concerned about mercy, faith, judgment, and law, and all these other things, then it's, you know, has no meaning to God. So in this kingdom, focus on these things. Jesus said, when you go, preach the kingdom this way. Show them what's different so that they can learn the kingdom and they can want to have it. Now, I'm going to talk briefly about, today's is just an introduction, but it's a deep dive. That's why I'm taking my time. I'm going to talk about our belief systems, how they can hinder us. Because now we are many years removed from the time that Jesus began to teach and to preach. We're even many years removed from the time he sent the disciples out first. We're even many years removed, thousands now, you know, that, you know, at least 2,000 years or so since Jesus now, you know, sent forth the apostles, told them, you know, you receive the Holy Ghost and do these things, you know, and how he gave them, you know, commandment to witness to his resurrection and so forth. We're many years removed. So now, we are the ones upon whom the end of the world has come. So what should we be learning? Well, the message of what the Word of God is communicating to us, you know, can be difficult to understand when we read it or when we hear it. Remember, the purpose is to bring understanding to our heart. And that's where you hear me every day. I say, well, the entrance of your word, you know, gives, you know, light and understanding and so on. I say it every day on here. You know, and Jesus said, well, that's what you need to do, because if you don't have understanding, the devil is going to come and take it from your heart. But our belief system today may be preventing us from receiving the revelation of what the word is trying to communicate to us. As we see in the story of Jesus and Martha in John chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. There is a story there of Lazarus dying and being dead and buried and being in the grave. And Jesus hearing when Lazarus was sick, that he was sick, and he waited some more days until Lazarus actually died. Because there were a lot of things that Jesus wanted to bring out. He said, well, I'm glad that for your sakes I was not there. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. And when he got there, I was talking with Martha. So there's a conversation, there's something in this conversation that indicates to us that you better be careful what your belief systems are, because they may be preventing you from understanding what Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Word of God is telling us today. Now, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And this Mary, she liked to sit still. Now, verse 21, Matthew 11. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if that would have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, you know, whatever you ask of God, he will give it to you. You say, okay. And then Jesus says to her, well, your brother shall rise again. Now, your brother shall rise again is what Jesus said. And Martha immediately said, well, I know. Now, we're talking, Jesus is now at the graveside, talking to Martha and saying that your brother will rise again. And Martha is saying, and this is Martha's religious beliefs now coming out in her conversation, even with Jesus. Martha is now going to say to her, look, I know that my brother will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. This is what she has been taught. So her belief system is coming into play here. Now, Jesus is trying to communicate something. Her belief system comes into play. And Jesus says, look, I am the resurrection. I don't go off talking about the resurrection in the last day. I'm talking about something different. Right here, right now, I'm the resurrection. But, you know, she's struggling with this because her belief system told her there's only going to be one resurrection. And that's at the last day, you know. So how in the world, you know, so anything that Jesus is saying, she's just aligning it with that. And then Jesus said, look, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that's the one you're talking about. Yeah. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, even shall never die, because I'm doing something different now. Do you believe this? Yeah. And look, even at that point, she still could not wrap her mind around what Jesus was saying. So she went on a rant. Well, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God. I should come to the world, which is good. You got to believe that part. But that's not what Jesus is trying to communicate in the moment. In this moment, right here, right now, Jesus is trying to communicate something else. But her belief system, you know, she put everything on, she's pushing everything on the future. There could no way that she was thinking, even though she said, well, I know that, you know, if you have been here, my brother will not have died. But even now, I know that if you ask anything, you know, she vaguely, you know, throws it out. But when it really comes to it, is she going to embrace it? Well, she's persuaded that Christ can ask anything and God will do it. But Is she going to embrace it that her brother is coming out of that grave? That's difficult. But Jesus said, look, that's what I'm talking about. And then she said, well, you know, I believe that you are the Son of God and so forth. And I just don't know what Jesus is asking. You know, and then she said, you know, okay, look, let's come and see where he is and so on. And they went. Now, your belief system can hinder you from understanding the message of this series that we're going to bring here. Because over the years, we've been taught so many things, which may or may not align necessarily with the teachings of the scriptures. But that's just the way they are, the traditions of man. And Jesus warned the people, said, look, you hold the traditions of men, such things, wash hands, do this, do that, don't do this, pay tithes, do those kinds of stuff. You hold that more than you hold the scriptures. You say, well, as Isaiah has prophesied of you guys. So now it's important for us to check your belief system at the door when you come to these lessons. Because we may say some things which may not align with your belief system. It's kind of like when we tell people that, you know, dying is not the only way to leave this world. You know, now that doesn't go sit well with many people. Because people say, well, it's appointed unto man once to die. And that we must all die. And I say, no. Scripture say we shall not all die. You know, we shall all be changed. And so which one are you going to believe? Going to believe the scriptures, or are you going to believe your mind or the tradition that we have been taught? And so sometimes you got to check those traditions at the door. Many things that you may have to check at the door through these lessons. So we're going to take our time. We're going to come into these lessons. So just to give you, a hint of what else is coming, you know. We must understand that the kingdom of God is a government. Now, but it is also called the government of heaven, and it is an everlasting kingdom. Now, in the book of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, when this was the scripture that the scribes used when they said, where is Christ going to be born? When Herod asked, and so they went and searched the scriptures. They found this Micah verse 5, chapter 5, verse 2, that says, and thou, O Bethlehem, O Ephrathah, though thou be the smallest out of the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be a governor, you know, among my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So, he's going to be governor. He's going to be a ruler. Well, you've got to have something to govern. You know, there's a government behind it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells you there's a government behind it, you know. This famous scripture that we quote all the time, unto us a child is born, sing it, and so forth. I mean, everyone sings it. Handel's Messiah, they all sing it. You know, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given or presented. But what next comes right after that? Well, let's see what comes after that. You know, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's the next thing that comes after that. So this child, when he grows up to be a son, there's something about him. There's a government, you know. And then government, yeah. So when Jesus was introducing the kingdom, there's a government behind that. Every kingdom has a government behind it. It can't just be a kingdom and there's no government. That government shall be on his shoulder. That's right. So we'll be talking more about that government. And what are the things that Jesus wants us to know about that government? Now, that's what he was revealing in the message of his kingdom as he was preaching it. Now, it's also an everlasting kingdom. In the book of Psalm 145 and verse 13, you will learn that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You know, the psalmist, he had understanding of this. And we need to have an understanding of it. It's not just a transient kingdom. It's not one that starts and ends like all these other kingdoms. It is one that is everlasting. It endureth throughout all generations. That's what he says. Psalm 145, verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Now, kingdom in itself is also a composite word. You might think of it as a king's domain or the king's dominion. So you take king from the first word, you take dom from the next word, you combine it together, you got kingdom. So there is no king without a domain. And his domain is his territory where he bears rule. There is no kingdom that does not have dominion over something. You know, so when we start to talk about the kingdom, you see how important it is, because that's what God introduced from the beginning. Let them have dominion. And this word dominion was lost after a while. And Jesus came and started introducing the king's domain or the king's dominion, and those who come into that, what it looks like. So it is important for us to know that. There are many prophets in the Bible also that talked about the kingdom. Daniel spoke a lot about it. In Daniel chapter 2, when he was interpreting that golden image and so forth. Well, in verse 43, he said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Hallelujah. Now that kingdom will be in the days of these kings. So the last of these, those kings, is the revised Roman Empire, which is where we are now. So in the days of those kings, the God of heaven must set something up according to the scripture. So that's why it's important for us. And then we see the signs, we see the eclipse, you see all of these things. Well, let's be reminded that in the days that these things are happening, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. So we need to bring the knowledge and understanding of this kingdom. Let's read Daniel chapter 2 and verse 43. You know, when Daniel interpreted this, that's what he said. This kingdom will smash that image and will break it in pieces. And when it happens, well, there are some people that are going to inherit that, and they are called, you know, the children of God. It says, days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom, shall not be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Nobody else is coming in to take it over, you know, like they did other kingdoms. You know, but it shall break in pieces, consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hallelujah. So that is the kingdom of God for you. And we're going to be talking about this kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, Nebuchadnezzar himself, after his restoration, here's what he said. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 3. How great are the signs of God, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. He figured it out finally. You know, so we need to bear that in mind. Now, many other scriptures in the book of Daniel chapter 7 will talk about the kingdom, you know, how it's going to come about. Daniel chapter 7, verses 14 and 27. Let's read that real quickly. There's Daniel chapter 7. You know, and, you know, he was talking in this vision. He said, I saw in the night vision, and behold, this is verse 13, one like the Son of Man. Well, capital S, you know, it's like Christ coming in the clouds of heaven. Came to the Ancient of Days. Now, this is another scripture that confuses people. And they brought him near to him. And I was giving him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion, his rulership is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. Not like all other kingdoms. This one will last forever. As it starts, it's forever. As a matter of fact, it was in his mind even from the beginning. You know, he said his goings forth have been from of old. Now, in that In that same chapter, you read down a little further, you get to verse 27, and you see what he says about, you know, the composition of this, you know, of this kingdom. He said, well, I saw when the Ancient of Days came, judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The time came that they should possess the kingdom. You know, that's verse 22. And they did possess the kingdom. He said, the judgment shall sit, shall take away the dominion, the Antichrist system and all of that, consume it and destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Huh? Did Jesus not say, you know, he that overcometh shall inherit all things? Revelation 21 and verse 7. Did he not also say in Revelation 3 and 21 that he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne? That's right. The people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and is a dominion, you know, one that shall not end, and all the peoples shall serve him. Praise the Lord. We are going to serve him, and we're going to make the people through ruling with the rod of iron also serve the Lord. Now, so we're going to be explaining many of these things throughout this series. I'm going to read you one more scripture here as part of this introduction, and then I'm going to leave it here. But there's more that is coming, you know. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1. I believe it's verse 11 or so. All right, let's see. Yeah. It's talking about all the things that you need to add to your faith, you know, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all these things. And it says, look, if you do these things, you know, you shall never fall. You know, wherefore the rather, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance. Now, all these things, faith, temperance, God brotherly, kindness, all these things, is to bring you into the kingdom. An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he's King of Kings. That means his subjects are also kings. And you got to learn through this process of how to be a king in this kingdom. And that's what we're going to be teaching in this series. So we must have understanding of the kingdom. You must know that this kingdom is it's also a kingdom. It's not it's not an abstract kingdom. It's a real kingdom. So there are many things that we need to learn about that. And as we go through today, remember, there is a sign in the heavens today. The eclipse of the sun, total eclipse of the sun. Well, scripture says the sun shall be darkened. The moon will also be turned to blood before the great day of the Lord should come. Well, we're seeing a darkening of the sun now. We're told that the next time you'll see this might be 2045 or something like that. So it's going to be, science knows these things. Well, and Jesus told the people, you can discern the face of the sky, you can discern the sky is red and lowry, it will be this and that. You can discern, you know, that there's coming an eclipse. You know, but what does it all mean? Well, the one thing to us is lift up your head for the salvation and our redemption is closer than when we first began. Let me leave you with these thoughts, and we'll pick this up tomorrow by the grace of God. God's plan from the beginning was to extend his heavenly kingdom to the earth and give man the rulership. And he said that, Genesis 1, 26 and 28 to 28. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, you know, and let him have dominion over all these things that he created. And he said, well, so he made the man in his own image and so forth. Then he blessed them and told them, be fruitful and multiply and do this and so forth. Replenish them and have dominion. So this was the plan that he had from the beginning. And that plan must come to pass. Psalm 115, we are told in verse 16 that, well, this was his plan. The heavens of heavens belong to the Lord. But what was his plan for the earth? Well, plan for the earth was to give it to the children of man. Praise the Lord. So, the Lord has given us this kingdom. It's a physical kingdom eventually. Started as a spiritual kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, and, but now at the end, according to Revelation 11 and 15, and what we read in Daniel, when the kingdom of God should have set up rule, he says, now all the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And the people of the saints of the kingdom shall reign. But we must introduce this kingdom first to us. Jesus introduced it to us. And then we must introduce it to others, you know, that they may want to be a part of it. You know, and there's a missing part in our message. And that we must understand. There's something that is missing after we come into the kingdom. Are we just sitting around waiting to go to heaven? There's a gap there in the message that we teach today. Give your life to Christ and go to heaven. Well, what happens in between? What if you don't go to heaven for the next 40 years or 50 years or even more? What are you going to be doing? So people just waiting around to go to heaven. Or like, it's just like Adam was waiting around to die. Well, the Lord told us that we're going to die. Well, Enoch said, well, you're not dead yet. Well, but we're going to die. Well, we'll see about that. You know, and he saw about that. You know, so, you know, it's not just about going to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, don't take them from the world. They have a job and they have a role. They have something to do here on earth. They got to represent. And in this upcoming series, we're going to talk more about understanding the kingdom, the concept of the kingdom, and the message of this gospel, what it's supposed to be all about. And then once we understand it, we're going to understand our role in the kingdom, citizenship and ambassadorship and so forth. Then we'll also even talk about, you know, the comparison between the church and the kingdom, and the message of the church versus the message of the kingdom, what it all means, and so on and so forth. So, you know, come back and join us from time to time as we go through this series. I'm going to take my time through this series, and more things will be revealed than even what I've taught before. And I've already shared even more things today. And so God bless everybody that will be listening into this as well. And we're living in an exciting time. We're seeing signs around us. And remember this day. April the 8th, 2024 was the day of the total eclipse of the sun. Well, you know, the number 8 also signifies the beginning of new things. So who knows? But God might just be signaling the beginning of new things. And understanding our heart is critical for us to know what we ought to do at this time, just like the sons of Issachar. So, Father, I pray that you give understanding to everyone. Help us to understand as we read the scriptures and as we hear these things, that understanding will come into our hearts, that we may know what we ought to do at this time. Blessed be the holy name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you all the glory. And as we begin to learn about the benefits of this kingdom, teach us, give us an understanding, elevate our minds from our past beliefs, systems, into the real truth. Jesus said, I have shown them thy truth. Thy word is truth. And when you know the truth, you'll be set free from religious systems and religious dogma. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.